This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're a shrewd shopper, it's about to be your favorite time of the year. HyperX will be running massive sales for the holiday season. Get up to 50% off some of our most popular products, like the ultra-comfy Cloud 2 headset, the tough, responsive Alloy Origins mechanical keyboard, and the fan-favorite Quadcast USB microphone. Sales will be going on at all major e-tailers, but be sure to head to HyperX.com and sign up for the newsletter to get the scoop on the biggest deals. Happy holidays from HyperX.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword. In our last episode, we got to the entrance of the ancient cistern, and we went inside. We got that cool thing where we get in there, and it's like, oh, this big new area, and looking at all this stuff. Overall, BC, what'd you think of this dungeon?
This is my favorite dungeon so far, hands down.
Okay.
Yes!
Okay.
Thank you! This dungeon is so good!
Brian?
I had fun.
Okay. I was in a time crunch on this one. I always have troubles with those whenever I'm doing a time crunch for these things. It's harder for me to appreciate things. I get a little bit more frantic. I assume I miss things, like maybe where a sign tells me that the clue to the password is hidden on some statue's hands and their butt or something.
On their rear. This game, Jeremy, yes, there is a sign somewhere that tells you exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get into here and there's a giant statue in front of us. There's water all around it. You can swim all around the thing, and at the time, you might see some design that doesn't look like anything in particular, right?
Mm-hmm.
It
right.
It just looks like it's on the... It's stylized with it. But...
Or that you're
listen,
even supposed to get those rupees, because I went for one
right
yes.
away. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And was punished for it, and it was like, oh, that's a trap. I just stay away from that. And, eventually, I came back.
Yeah, if you listen to older Jeremy, he told you in this game to pay attention to the walls and things.
Yeah.
And I didn't listen to that guy. So I ended up wasting a lot of time looking around. Eventually, I did find the rear, I guess, is what it described it as.
Mm-hmm.
I found that. But the thing is, I didn't see the stone slab that told me what to do. Because I looked on my map and was just like, that door is locked. Okay, that door is unlocked. I'm going to go to that mm-hmm. one. Went
right.
all the way through this stuff and then eventually was
so,
like,
so you go up to
I don't
that
know what
thing.
I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you go up to that thing and because it's the only way to go. And there's like a water jet that you can unlock that lets you back out of the room. But you have to go through this hallway basically to get down to the door that's the special lock
that we haven't seen before. We have not seen this kind of lock before. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what the lock is and you didn't see the sign, you get there and you turn around and you go back out the way you came. Once you figure everything else out and you unlock it, you get a special thing, and then you just go back out the way you came. Like, it dumps you out in a different way, but the way you came.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm just like, all right, cool.
One of the other things we learn in this little side section is that we are dealing with lily pads that you can interact with in a few ways. Now, one way we're not going to learn until later, but you can walk on them. If you're swimming up to them, you can climb up on top of those. But if you jump down from them from a height, I can't say what exactly how much, because I feel like if it's a little bit, you're fine. But if it's up, if it's a certain height, they'll flip them. And the underneath,
maybe a second story.
Sure, yeah, we'll go with that.
One level higher.
Not like in a Zelda map sense, like you have to be up on a level up. But like, yeah,
but
if
you go up a staircase,
You know, yeah, if you took some stairs to get there. Yeah.
The roots underneath these lily pads are very strong, and they will hurt you when you touch them. So there are times where there is a channel underneath one of them that you have to climb up a thing to jump down to flip them and to unlock it that way.
Yeah.
But that is something we learn here, because when you jump, you get a cutscene that sits and looks and just be like, look what just happened.
Hey,
remember this.
Did you pay attention to the thing that just happened? Should we show it to you again in slow motion?
And it takes like 4 seconds for the lily pad to like settle, like it rocks back and forth a bit before the game goes, hey, look at that. Look.
Yeah, the game needs to go, write that down. Like after the scene, it's just to be like, this will be important.
Master, there's a 19% chance that this will come in handy later.
These are cool. Like, all that aside, like, I like the lily pads. It, not only do they hurt you and extend down, they use that to block things, because these can be like, you know, either flipped on its head or on heads or tails, whatever. It's one or the other. And so you have to remember which one's which, or get to a higher vantage point and jump on the right one to even just get some, you know, rupees if you can swim into the hole correctly. But they use them to block things underwater as well.
And yeah, so it's interesting. We haven't seen anything like this, and I can't really think of anything in like Breath of the Wild that did anything like that either. That we were just like, you know, you interacted with it in an interesting way, where typically something like this, you would just have a device that would flip it or something, right? You would do something to make it do that thing. But this is using physics in a way that we haven't seen before to go and to change it like that. So that's interesting for sure. We do come across a few things here and there that I knew. I had an idea of what we were getting here. I couldn't remember exactly at the time, but you see some things hanging off the walls that kind of identify like, okay, I'm going to be maneuvering my way from one platform to another using this thing hanging off the wall, right?
Even the lamp posts on the wall, like the lights that are on the wall, have like a curved, you know, feature design to them that is reminiscent of other Zelda things, other games that interact with swinging.
I can't remember if these birds have been in another game, but as soon as I saw the birds, I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna like lasso onto those or something.
The rocks.
Did you? I never did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How'd you kill them?
Well, yeah, I didn't. Yeah. We'll get to it.
You hang out with them.
I didn't. It was fine. I was bird friendly in this dungeon, apparently.
I was anything but.
The birds work for the bourgeoisie.
It's pretty brutal.
Jeremy over here with the bird pacifist run.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're all like, you know, putting feathers on hats and stuff over here.
We get a key from the door previously, and that lets us go into the center section here. If we go all the way up, we do see the keyhole. Now, this is like the earliest we've seen a keyhole in a dungeon so far. Normally, we don't see them until the very end, and the key is really close by. This one, they do it right from the beginning, and they're just sort of like, figure it out.
Fee's like, look at that. Look at that weird thing. Look at that.
Wonder what it is.
I'm like,
absolutely use this to signal, like, this dungeon is actually just a tower, and you will come back to this room a lot.
Right.
And I think that's I'm just like,
Fee, as the Chat of the Wilds official key expert, everything is a key in this game.
I mean, technically, so yes.
It's a key.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have to grab it and turn it, Fee. So get with the program.
If we make our way down to the bottom of this tower, that does bring up a big old scary Staphos that we have to fight. Such a pain.
This guy.
This was the AP exam for us on this on the sword test here.
On the bomb sword technique. This is definitely this definitely put that technique to the test.
It wasn't even as useful in this one because with the previous Staphos, you could get like two hits on each of them, I think. And with the spin technique, it was just real easy to do that. With this, you can only get one hit off of him when you do the bomb thing. And so it's not, you have to spend more time getting bombs out. Yes.
A lot more health than those guys.
And a lot more arms, too.
Well, I mean, than all of them combined?
Well, no.
Okay. Also, foreshadowing as well. So.
Yeah, he's got four arms here, and we'll do shapes with those arms that leave a little opening that you can do that. Like, you can swing in that direction to get inside of the box
He starts with two arms.
Yes.
He moves on to four. He eventually has six, I thought, because I don't know where
what
all
kind of shapes was he
from.
Making
just not convenient ones for destroying him.
Someone is playing a different game somehow.
Brian's playing the air traffic controller mod where the hand motions get way more intense.
I'm just trying to come up with any excuse to tell myself I don't suck at fighting in this game.
No, this is always where this game falls apart is when we're doing this like one-on-one sword play where it's like you can only attack by doing this one direction this way. And at least with the motion, I know Tegan's going to come in and be like, actually, it was great.
Just turn off the buttons and then you don't have a problem. If you get rid of the only gimmick of this game, it's really not hard.
If you'll get rid of the whole reason this game was ever created, then it's easy.
I only turned on motion controls for boss battles. Only boss battles. Everything else was button controls.
I get that. But we eventually beat him. He blows
eventually.
Up. Yeah. We go through the door.
My attack of just doing the spin a bunch and running away didn't help me.
No,
I had to.
Fine. He will ruin you. Like if you get your stuff wrong, his response is to immediately use those arms on you, and that thing does some damage.
Yeah,
like it's taken out at least like two hearts each time.
A lot.
And it was I had to do it. It was just funny. He had done a lot of damage to me, and I was like, all right, time to go and hit these skulls and get these hearts. And I'm just walking real slowly, and he's right behind me where he's like, hey, get back here. But I did a full circle around the area, just stopping and hitting these things. And it's like, he's just like waddling behind me.
He's like, let me know when you're ready to go again. Like, I'm ready when you're ready. Take your time, bud.
He didn't.
Let me know when you're ready,
bro. He didn't give me much time. Cause like, especially when the heart, like you'll hit the skull and the heart will be like, I'm gonna pop over to the right of you a little bit. I'm like, yeah, but that's where he is. And now I have to stop and like make sure that I don't overcorrect or run past the heart that I need desperately.
But when we do beat him, we get a new item, the whip. And this one's interesting. Because it's all context sensitive, right? This is not an item that you can just get out and, you know, become and pretend like you're playing Castlevania and just like whip everything you see. Everything has to be locked onto for the whip to be accurate, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't miss something there, right?
And or maybe just because I'm using button controls, you can whip stuff willy-nilly. Like, you can whip grass and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, I've keys have gotten killed by it, but most enemies are just like, or they get stunned. Do they get stunned? I don't remember.
I
know you can take things from them, but...
Yeah, that was a revelation. I wish I'd realized earlier.
There's a number of things that we can do with this whip, though. And one of them is to interact with those lily pads that if one is turned upside down, we can latch onto it. Now, the way it works is that you'll target your thing that you're going to whip. When you do it, the whip will connect and you'll get like stuck to it. You can then move in a direction with it. And you can make it go a specific way. We'll have to do this with a couple switches. Mm-hmm.
Some of them require direction, yeah.
Yeah. We can grapple on to those arms that were hanging over chasms that we can then go and swing across there. Now, it's still like, there is one in particular that I was like, something is broken here because the swingings felt like Link stopped like halfway.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not just you. That's that specific.
Even over here, yeah, it sometimes is just weird.
But, yeah, you can do that. There's also those hanging switches that you can now reach even if metal bars are between you and the switch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat.
Which I noticed with my slingshot, because I've got the upgraded slingshot that does the like buckshot thing, the spread fire.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's not just like, I was like, I guess I'll upgrade it. Like, I don't know if I'll need, you know, a try shot. And it's like, no, dude, one bullet gets you like 10 if you charge it up.
Right, and again, it's you can spray and pray with it. So it's like that's what you
pretty
want
much.
From that slingshot, because the slingshot has a draw or drop, right? So you have
it is quite affected by gravity, yes.
Yeah. And with this upgrade, you launch so many that it's fine, right?
But with that, I also noticed that a number of them went through a fence or a set of iron bars. And I was like,
okay.
So that is a mechanic, because that's like, it's not something I think about in every video game I play. Like, but the, can you shoot through the fence is kind of an old, you know, especially old shooting, you know, shooter game kind of thing. Like,
eventually
at some point you that thought crosses your mind. Oh, can I shoot through the fence? Oh, this is one of the games where you can't shoot through the fence. Or, oh yeah, no, this game lets you shoot through fences or whatever.
This
so,
is a quality
yeah.
game.
every now and then, like, you know, that pops up and it's almost like a gaming lizard brain.
But with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll see what else this whip lets us do.
Come on in, take a seat. What are you having? Well, of course I've heard of Hair of the Dogcast. That's the podcast that talks about video games and beer. For all of the latest gaming headlines, craft beer reviews, retro games, modern games, series retrospectives, console studies, and on occasion, extremely hungover discussions on the lore of Kingdom Hearts, make sure to check out Hair of the Dogcast, part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
If you're a shirt shopper, it's about to be your favorite time of the year. HyperX will be running massive sales for the holiday season. Get up to 50% off some of our most popular products, like the Ultra Comfy Cloud 2 headset, the tough responsive LA Origins mechanical keyboard, and the fan favorite Quadcast USB microphone. Sales will be going on at all major retailers, but be sure to head to HyperX.com and sign up for the newsletter to get the scoop on the biggest deals. Happy holidays from HyperX.
Hey, Lassie, what are you doing here? Timmy's in a well. SequelCast 2 and Friends is a podcast looking at movies in a franchise, one film at a time, like Harry Potter, Hellraiser, and The Hobbit. And sometimes the hosts talk about video games and TV as well. And now it's part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Oh, Lassie, we don't need to rescue Timmy. He likes the well enough, I guess. Darth Vader is Luke's father. Lassie, I told you to lay off the spoilers.
Hi, everybody. My name's Tegan Somerset.
I'm Rocky Hardy.
And I'm Brian Cartwright.
And we are Impossible Coin, a podcast about video games. Join us every other week as we discuss gaming news.
Did you know he tried to smuggle $100,000 across the Canadian border?
Genre differences.
Sometimes it's your turn to press the button, and sometimes it's your turn to block.
And deep lore. I've spent so long on this, Brian, you can't do this to me.
We will sell you nothing and solve none of your problems, but we sure are fun.
Impossible Coin,
a podcast about video games. See you on Thursdays.
We are back in the ancient cistern. We've got a whip now. It lets us go places. It lets us swing on things. It lets us do stuff.
Maybe differently.
Maybe. We'll see. this one, so Tegan, you had brought up before about how this one does have a tower in the middle. Mm-hmm. That we're going to manipulate. But my issue with this is that our map does not, like, convey that.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a time where we can hit a switch and the middle tower thing moves. Mm-hmm. And I did not quite understand what they did here. It took me a second for my brain to connect to these things where I'm like, okay, there are the inside of it, there are three doors. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
There's a top, middle, bottom door.
Yes.
And when you hit the switch, you do move this tower down. Mm-hmm. Now, for whatever reason, it showed, I don't know, we come across this area that we're looking out into this pile of bones.
Yeah.
And we mm-hmm. see a treasure chest.
Yeah.
And I just got so confused as to like what the tower was doing to this treasure chest. And I understand it now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent way too long trying to wrap my brain around this.
Oh, dude, no. It's an Aonuma game. Follow the line. The one thing unlocks another. Just keep going.
Yeah, all you got, like, literally like this game, you just keep going forward. As long as you keep going forward, it's fine.
Yeah. When the statue dropped, I'm like, that's cool. It did a thing. Whatever
but that
it
isn't,
did,
that, it
I'm
does,
stepping
is it true?
Through the door now. Like, and
that
then
isn't
I will drop
true
down.
Because you do have to turn around at a point. There is a thing. After you do it, you do need to turn around in order to get to the bone area because you've lifted up the thing to get to that. So that isn't always going forward on this. And this was the thing that threw me off.
You gotta get to the bone zone, and then you get to do the zombie apocalypse mini game.
I was trying so hard not to say bone zone, but Tegan, you just did it. So
I just did it. Yeah.
It wraps you all the way back around to that door. You go in that door, go back up, raise the statue, go back down. Like, yeah, like I
that's
done
turning
all
around.
Of this.
That's not going forward. That's turning
right,
around.
Because I have.
That's what I'm saying. I did go forward. Brian, I did go forward.
A line can go back around. Yes, it moves around. Well, sorry,
a
it's
line
not a
works
straight
in
line.
Mysterious
right.
ways. Jeremy, I think
that's
of
what I'm saying. Each thing
like
unlocks the next. And so,
Brian, you have said so many times, don't ever backtrack. This moment, you have to backtrack. I didn't backtrack, and
I
got
I
lost.
Did unlock the next thing in front of me. There's only one thing to do. Go to the thing that I have just, like, yeah.
Jeremy, I do have to ask, did you read the sign that tells you to backtrack?
Because it was a sign right there.
No. I don't read most signs.
I don't.
Fair.
We should pay attention to the things on walls. Also, I don't read signs.
Yes, I appreciate architecture. But when I go to museums, yes, I take my time and I look at all of these paintings. I don't read the biography for every single artist. Okay.
Author, I guess Jeremy is author is dead in theory, so or death of the author, so that's
he
fine.
Takes a seat.
Yeah.
We all do it differently, all right?
We all think about constructs differently.
You've done a thing now that this thing you just did, climb back down there because you have to go back this way to get
okay.
to the thing you just did.
We need okay. Here's what happens. Some
it's
really
all
cool stuff. Some really cool stuff happens right now. We need to talk
it's
about.
All
it.
Cool.
Tegan, yeah, Tegan, describe this area to us.
The evil underground lair.
Right.
Holy.
We're at a so it's a cistern. So this yeah. is basically this is the plumbing.
Yeah.
This is like this is plumbing, and this is where
this is,
all the stuff goes.
Yeah. This is
in,
the bottom
for,
of the system. This is where all of the like. Evil in this area has just been pooling because it can't get up through like the purified Ooh. Water or whatever. There's just bones and zombies, and they make you climb back out on a rope, and it's just they
I
keep climbing
it.
Up underneath you. Oh, it's so stressful. It's every zombie apocalypse survival worst nightmare scenario. Like
yeah.
Oh. It's so
BC,
bad.
How many sword slashes did you make on your first zombie bokoblin before you realized you couldn't actually kill them with your sword?
Oh, you can kill him.
You can? Oh, I did it like 10 times and I was like, I ain't doing this. I'm running away.
Oh, you just have to it knock was... him down and then you can finishing strike him. Or you can mm-hmm. knock him
down.
Oh.
He got up, but did I thought I finishing struck
nope.
someone and they got up. I
you
don't
finish
know.
Finishing strike him and they die.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't yeah, kill any of them?
For me, it was regardless of whether or not I can, is it worth sticking around to find out? Is that time investment worth getting possibly swarmed? And so I did the I'm going to run past these guys. I was terrified. Same. I forgot all yep. about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, they could be just going for like, you know, cliche stand-in terror horror element here, but it's also good to have deeper ramifications going forward in the narrative that this kind of thing exists. And
it's
terrifying.
Was, like the second instance where I was just, and I have this because I did all this on stream. I have it like recorded. I'm just panic swinging at stuff, and I do one like. Final strike, I'm like, oh, that's it. Okay, I just gotta, oh God, the whole time.
Oh, wait, no, I just remembered. I dropped bombs. I forgot.
Oh,
bombs
smart.
Kill him in one
dropping
hit.
Dropping bombs.
I just remembered that. I didn't, yeah, I hit him with my sword a bunch of times, realized that wasn't working effectively enough for me, put a bomb down, blew up, and killed up like six of them at once. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay,
was
cool.
I was gonna say like that. How is this the most bomb dropping this Zelda game since Zelda 1? It was like, oh, we have the same amount of items,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay,
yeah.
I wasn't sure if these were gonna be this game's version of Redeads, because the first one I came in contact with jumped on me like a Redead does, and I was like, if
oh,
these
no.
things start screaming, it's game over.
Oh my God, I hate the Redeads.
Yeah, if I get frozen in place.
Yeah. What's crazy is when we get down there too, there's Ooh. This pool of like poison water, but it's in like a giant stone demon face looking thing
mm-hmm.
that's just there to look ominous.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't serve a purpose. Well, actually, no, I take that back. It does serve a purpose because we have to, or no, that's a different one. Because we have two different ones here. There's one
there's
that we
two
go
different
through.
Eyes.
Yeah, two different set of eyes on those things.
I didn't see
faces.
That one. It's at the very beginning. I didn't see that one until I had wrapped around and gotten to the end
mm-hmm.
and was like, I'm going to fly beetle around and look at stuff. Because the first time, I wasn't paying attention to the architecture. I was running from our freaking life. And just, yeah, I'm just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we do come across one area that there is a rope to swing on with the platform has a big rock in front of it. And we have to get a beetle needs to be able to grab a bomb to drop it off mm-hmm. on there. But in order to get that, we have to you can run around the backside of it, find where the bombs are, but you still can't reach it with your beetle.
Right.
You need to send the beetle up through the eye holes at the top of this thing to hit the switch. That opens up a gate for it, or it stops the waterfall of mm-hmm. like poison water,
or
and then,
whatever that is.
Yeah, and then you can pick up a bomb and drop it there. But there's one at the beginning that does that too. I didn't look into there. I'm assuming maybe there's like a rupee in there or something.
There was some cash money back there.
But then Tegan also mentioned we sort of loop our way through here. In order to get back out, we have to climb this really thin, almost spider web looking rope. Mm-hmm. And as we're going up it,
I mean, who else thought that a spider was going to pop out?
I did not.
And halfway up the rope, who else thought? Well, I would have preferred the spider.
Yeah, I would have preferred a spider.
There are swarms of these.
I was afraid of the spider. Not anymore.
There are swarms of these zombie bokoblins that start coming out of the ground and climbing up the ropes. And you see a bunch of them at the bottom, but then a few of them get real fast up there and make their way up to you. And you got to shake them off when they grab
you.
It's intense, man.
Mm-hmm. It's a great moment.
Yeah. Some Mario Kart 64 levels of rubber banding happening here.
This is why, you know, this is the reason people argue for this game, is because of the character that you get in just like the dungeons and in these interesting circumstances that you have. There's a lot of other issues with this game, but it does stuff that none of the other Zelda's games have done, and it's so much more ambitious about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It does some cool scripted moments. Yeah.
I think the whip is interesting, like, in terms of we haven't had a thing like this that necessarily gave us, in theory, manipulation of distant things, right? Typically, we have a thing like the original hook shot. You hit it, it pulls you towards it. We eventually got a grapple hook. We could swing off things. We did have a whip in one of the DS ones. And that did the thing of being able to like grab something or like hit something from a distance.
But this one giving us everything.
Yeah. This one giving us the ability to sort of like grab a thing and then also make it move in a certain way is a new kind of thing on there. And that's nice.
And I like that in the 3D, this is a grappling type thing in a 3D Zelda game that we don't go into a like first person mode to use it. Like we're locking on, you can swing it, you know, without locking on, but you know, you're not trying to get the thing to start blinking for you.
Right. After we go through up here, we move this statue around a little bit here and there, and then we come back down. We see this treasure chest that we saw earlier. When we were coming through this path, we were getting sucked through the tunnel, the piping in here. We got spit out in one area where we had this these bars in front of us, and there was a bokoblin, one of the ranged bokoblins, which these guys really suck. Like you can take them out in one hit, but they have really good aim for their stuff, and so they can keep taking damage away from you.
They were taking beetle out of the sky.
They will also, if you try to send your beetle at them, they will shoot it out of the sky.
Yeah, it's a real Game of Thrones moment. I'm just like watching my dragon go down every time. I'm like, no, I want to kill you.
But there is a locked door between us, and you can use the whip to pull the key off of his side, which was pretty satisfying. But we go through all of that, and we do see a treasure chest through there. We eventually wrap our way around in this scary underground area. And when we do open the treasure chest, we get our key, and then the statue we've been moving slowly starts to come down on top of us. And at the same time, a whole bunch of zombies start coming up around us, too. I didn't mess with them. I was just like, you guys are too slow for this. I'm just going to run past you.
I'm out of here.
And then it's funny, the thing just like slowly just comes down on top of them and smushes them.
Yeah. There's no, like, you know, noise or foley to it. I was like kind of listening for some kind of, even like a scream, but like, no, it's just.
Yeah. With the key, we can go back and put it in and open up the top area there.
The key is like, a lime.
The key actually looks like it has something to it this time, as opposed to.
I don't know what kind of flower is in the middle, but there's like a lime, as the base, and then flower, And then like the middle looks like chopped okra or something, like just like a cross section of it. It's, I don't know. I was like, there's some floral, there's some food here. This is great.
I think you got more inspired by this than the rest of us.
I want to know what that flower is. I'm sure it also has to deal with food. And I'm sure this all has to deal with, you know, something with Buddha, you know, whatever.
Sure, I can see
that.
Yeah, yeah. We go up there, and we're in the boss area now. We do see Girahim here. He has very little to say before he moves on. He's just sort of like, why are you still following me? Just leave me alone. I'm trying to resurrect the Demon King. Just leave me alone.
He's not really into us anymore.
But then he activates Ancient Automaton Coloctus.
Sure.
This is our boss for this one.
Who made this thing?
BC, what's your experience with this boss here? How'd it go for you?
Favorite boss of the game so far.
Great.
Super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the objective was pretty clear on what you needed to do. There was good variety. It felt like you were accomplishing something. It was a cool fight.
Yeah.
Tegan, does this one rank pretty high for you?
Yeah, too? I like this one. This is one of this is also one of my favorite boss battles in this game. It's it's really, to me, it's really clear what you need to do, how you need to do it, like what the expectations are, and the boss is slow enough that I did not like panic while I was playing, which is nice.
Yeah, I say like it's good that all that stuff is super clear, because there's a lot of different stuff that you have to do, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear, and right. It kind of has the automaton thing itself has vibes of some of the Vati stuff that was going on, and so I was like, oh, but it's nice in this instance. Whereas I somewhat like the end of that, you know, that fight, that ending fight. Not a lot of it's clear. In fact, much of it isn't, and what you have to do. And this, it is. That's good. That's good. Good design.
Yes, because the joints of this creature, like in its arms, have the same design of the switches that we've been pulling with the whips. So the second you see it, your brain should connect those two things. It's not introducing some random new thing that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that enough, it won't have any arms to block its weak point. So you can get in there. And again, yeah, its weak point. Clear from the beginning. It's not an eyeball. I mean, it looks kind of, I mean, you could say it like has an eyeball design kind of to it, but it's not a freaking eyeball. I hate when they're just like slice the eyeball that we just randomly put on this creature here.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like a weird neon glowing crystal in the center of somebody's like brain.
No, it matches. Yeah. It fits with the design overall.
Mm-hmm.
Of,
or a
of
big
the character.
Like magma tumor that just pops out of its back.
Yeah. But then eventually its second form, it gets out of the ground and then also puts a grate over the thing. So your sword can't even get through it now. And yeah, it pulls up, it gets like, how many are, it gets like, it's got six arms and then eventually each of them have like a scimitar and it just does all these different shapes with it and all this stuff. And it like, if you're not paying attention and you're not like, you do have to dodge, like you got to get, I think you need to get close enough for it to actually do the smashing animation
or else.
Cause if you,
it'll
do
a, ranged attack.
Yeah.
And you don't want that range attack, cause it's usually spawning little zombie guys.
Mm-hmm.
It'll spawn zombie guys. It'll throw blades. It'll just flail wildly.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, the blade throwing. Yeah, in the first round, what was the deal with the the hand signals? Were we getting anything from that? I didn't like. That was the one thing I'd say about the fight is that I didn't understand if it was showing me patterns.
Well, here's the thing. Okay,
I understood
what
I needed to do.
The patterns were not visual. They were audio.
Mm-hmm.
You listen, it is about like when in its first phase, this was so cool to me, in its first phase you could hear like a three tick just before it was about to smash down. In its second phase it did the same tick, but it did it early intentionally to throw you off, where okay. if you were paying attention like to its movement, it makes a noise as it's about to do it, but when it goes into its next phase, it intentionally does it early to try to throw you off.
Some Mike
and
Tyson
so,
stuff right there.
If like I was listening in for it, like I noticed, I was like, for not even like it, I guess it, I didn't even do it intentionally, just naturally I started reflexively dodging out of the way when I was hearing that sound, and then I kept doing it in the second phase only for them to late and it still just smashes down on me, and then I realized like they were intentionally throwing you off, and I was like, that's so cool, like that is super smart for them to do something like that where they it's just the tiniest little thing where it didn't even need to have any sound cue for it whatsoever, but it did have something there, and
it
also manipulated it. And that's really cool.
Tricked you.
But I don't think that was the coolest part of the boss fight. I thought the coolest part of the boss fight was when you picked up its own weapon and smashed it to bits.
So good. So satisfying.
Shiny swords littering the battlefield, and to pick one up, go nuts. They had weight. They had power
heft.
Behind. Like
heft
you just
is
like,
the word you're looking for, Brian. Heft.
Huh?
Heft, yes. Because you would do a normal swing and it would be really slow. I mean, it's just like in, you know, FromSoft game where you got a heavy weapon for the first time and you try swinging that thing and it just takes forever. Mm-hmm. So there's the second time, I picked up the weapon to do it, I started to do it and he knocked me out before I could connect. And I was like, right, I need to be aware that I can't just be like, I got big sword now. Yeah.
I felt like weight and heft, that would be redundant if I said both, so I don't know.
Anyway. but I also love the final moment before, like when you kill it, the little cutscene. Its head sort of stretches out in a weird way, and it makes like a weird noise, and then it explodes. Mm-hmm. It's creepy, man.
Yeah. I saw there was a swing point. I should send you guys the picture of this, where it just kind of the thing that the swing point was hanging off of looked like a dead hand head. You know, the weird, creepy Ocarina of Time guy with all the hands, and he pops out, and he's like, got that weird child. Yeah, yeah. That I was like, that's oddly familiar and deeply unsettling.
Absolutely. So with this, we go into the next area, and after beating it, you know, we get our heart container, all that fun stuff. We see a giant flame here. It's a green flame. Link is like scared of this flame too. I would be too, I guess. I walk into a room and there's a giant green flame and my talking sword is telling me to go closer. I'd be iffy about it.
I need to smell that. That's mine. Go get closer to it. What? No, I don't want that.
But we go up to there, and then we get a cutscene where Fi jumps into the flame herself and sort of just like absorbs it all. And channels it in a way that she's able to then, like, I don't know, turn it into something our sword can use, I guess, is a way to say it.
Our sword evolves.
So this has been a point of confusion for me, is, like, I've always thought that Fi was just, like, an extension of the sword or, like, part of the sword itself. And this is the first time that I was like, oh, Fi is just her own thing.
She lives in the sword.
Yeah, Fi is like the spirit of the sword.
It like is the sword.
This will come into play later in the game.
Okay. Yeah.
She is like the hard drive inside of the sword.
Okay.
Well, no, maybe she's the
we'll
installer.
She's
the installer program.
Yeah, we don't need to sweat it yet. It'll
she's making sure that
later.
Everything you do doesn't get corrupted as it's put into the sword. Yeah.
Sure. Yes. But she does that, and then we get to see our sword transform. Now they don't say specifically. They do that thing that the Zelda games do, where they were just like, "Oh, your sword is more powerful now." I don't know, Tegan, is this a thing where a sword actually does more damage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They tell you.
Okay. Do they do say it does more damage?
It does more damage.
Yeah, it does more damage, and also it has a longer reach because it's no longer a short sword, it's a long sword now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, didn't pick up on that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
They literally tell you, it's become the goddess longsword, like...
Oh, I didn't see it had a different name.
Yeah.
Okay.
These Zelda games, man. But the thing is, we have been granted swords in Zelda games mm-hmm. that made no difference whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I was quick to assume this was the same kind of thing.
The, like, little halberd gets the beginnings of the little wings on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the blade changes slightly. And, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a proper upgrade.
It's got some art on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That good master sword art. Does it change names again after we get the next flame?
It does.
Well, what if we wanted to get a different flame first and we'll never know that name? It's like, you know, I don't think it matters what order you get them in.
I think it's how much flame you have.
How much power it has.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, I'm looking at a screenshot right now that I took. The flames of Feror have improved your sword, making it longer and sharp enough to do twice as much damage. I was just like, click, click, click.
We all read it differently.
Or not at all. That wraps up this episode. For the next episode, we are going to get to the entrance of the pirate stronghold. There's a lot of more things that we can do. We've got some goddess blocks that we should have sent up there that I'm sure you got treasure chests for. There are pumpkin challenges for you to do if you so choose. I'm sure there's people to help that our monster friend would very much appreciate. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, do all those things, and we will meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.